Hello and welcome as always. My name is Greg Esser and you've tuned into Hot Air. Hot Air, of course, is the DC Breezes podcast, a AUDL franchise hailing from the nation's capital. Off the cusp, quick thanks, as always, to our corporate sponsors, our corporate partners, Papa John's, Layout Gloves, Oak Creek Apparel, Big Board Restaurant. They make this mission possible. Also, a big thanks to WAFSE, that's Washington Area Frisbee Club. Hit them up at WAFSE.org online. Find plenty of playing opportunities all over the D.C. area. A lot of exciting preseason action has occurred in the last couple weeks here for the Breeze, and I haven't brought it to you yet. You can read all about it on the D.C. Breeze's website. Lots of great content there, but let me plant the seed. Let me entice you to say that they brought on a new head coach, a guy that used to coach up in Philadelphia by the name of Daryl Stanley. Lots of experience in the AUDL, 3 years as an assistant coach on the Philadelphia Phoenix, and then won a championship in the MLU last year with the other with the Philly team up there, the Spinners. Other exciting news, some signings have occurred. They're up to 20 guys on the 2017 roster. Brian Marshall's back in 2017. 2015 player Troy Holland, after a year off, is back in that red, white, and blue, those subtle stripes for the district. And Max Castle, 2016 player, returning to the Breeze this year. Two new signees will be league rookies this year, despite plenty of playing experience. That's Kevin Moldenauer, Lloyd Blake, guys that have been all around the elite ultimate scene, but will be suiting up this year for the first time for the Breeze. As I said, I think 20 roster spots wrapped up at this point, but 12 more spots are out there to be given to other qualified, high-caliber players, and the drama will all occur this Sunday, March 5th, at Dunbar High School, and that will be the tryouts to make the final 12 spots on the Breeze this year. Other exciting news, of course, is the partnership with Truck Stop. That tryout will be for both teams, so show up, strut your stuff, show up, spectate. I'll be on hand, and I'll just be in the chat, so if anyone wants to hit me up, you'll find me at Dunbar this Sunday, March 5th. Last piece of exciting news before I get into the interview with Jonathan Neely is the exciting preseason action for the Breeze this year. Sunday, March 19th, all the Sundays, Washington Lee High School is going to host the DC Breeze Women's Showcase game. And this is a college and young recent college grad showcase game. Female players from all over the D.C. area. Grit, scandal, backhanded, great club teams are represented heavily by the recent grad team. And then tons of local universities are represented. You got your Georges off the top, your George Mason, your Georgetown, your George Washington. And then, of course, James Madison, American University, Catholic, Towson, and Maryland, Baltimore. I think that gets them all. Yeah, that should be about it. So anyway, lots of excitement around those. And that game, of course, goes down March 5th. Without further ado, let's throw it over to Brooke Royals. Let's kick off the second episode of Hot Air for 2017. Thanks for listening. Here with Jonathan Neely, a second time interviewee on Hot Air. How's it feel to be back in the studio?
Fantastic.
Like the studio, of course, being the concept of us sitting together at a kitchen table and talking about Ultimate.
Yeah, I think I'll take the kitchen table over the studio.
Good. There's no soundproofing, so hopefully we'll get some, I don't know, some good back noise, some good outside noise that we can comment on throughout it. Keep us on our toes.
Yeah, something authentic.
Yeah, I mean, it is the off season. Maybe we could record while jogging. So that said, it's the off season. We played Galtimate this morning. We talked a lot about Galtimate actually last time we did a podcast.
Yeah.
But besides the occasional Sunday morning Galtimate, with a good crew in DC that comes out to the polo fields, yeah. What's your off season been like? Thinking Ultimate, working Ultimate. What's it been?
It's been good. You know, it's been relaxing and also challenging and fulfilling. you know, last year I played both Breeze and Truck, and just went into the off season knowing that it had been a really long year, one that had really pushed me, and one that I personally gave a lot to, and kind of wanted to make sure that with the next season I just felt like I was like in the right headspace to be pouring myself in again, right? I didn't want to do the exact same thing I did in 2016 and 2017. I didn't want to have the same motivations. So I took a month or two to kind of take stock of I knew pretty quickly that I wanted to play again. I gave myself a week or two to just like not even answer that question, just to see how it felt. But, you know, I'm not.
So you think that question's honestly on the table for you, or you already know the answer going in?
When you mean back
when you October? when you sit there, you know the truck stop season's over, the ADL season's over, the Breeze season is over. Is that a real question you ask yourself? You know, yeah. am I into this for next year?
Yeah, I do my very best to make it an honest question, and that means forcing the issue a little bit, just to think a little bit beyond playing just by default, because that's easy to do, and. Frankly, like, I can do that. I love to play. And that's what it comes back to. So it's sort of like, is it on the table? I don't know. As long as I love it as much as I do, it's probably not. But just to leave it unanswered, to me, is nice, just to clear the head a little bit. And like I said, like, what you want is for things to feel fresh, and you want for it to feel like you're doing something new and something that's worthwhile this year, because it's not last year anymore.
So then tell me. So you just said, you know, make sure you don't do things the same way.
Yeah.
What has changed?
Yeah.
That's, I think, the hardest thing to put your thumb on.
Yeah. You know, physically, it's a little easier to explain what's changed. I think last year I was... Let me say, what stayed the same is that I've found that, just like last year, I have a real love for training, mm-hmm. and for being focused and regimented about just spending time training and spending time pushing my body to be, you know, the best it can be. Last year I did a workout program that was, I was really meticulous about following, you know, all of the instructions exactly and following the schedule exactly. And this year I've been a lot more, I think with what I learned last year, I've freestyled it a little bit more,
mm-hmm.
and, I've done a little bit less, to get even more specific, I've done a little bit less, really heavy lifting, especially with like squats and deadlifts, and a lot more core strengthening. I had some hamstring pain that popped up last April, and it...
You shouldn't use hamstring and pop in the same sentence.
Yeah, right. But. Okay, that's a good point. But it didn't go away. And talking to a lot of people, the Breeze has a great training staff, and talking to the doctor and talking to a physical therapist, we put a finger on there being some imbalances in my back and my core. And so working to get that pain to go away has been a whole lot of trying to strengthen and balance out there, which it's been a different type of working out, but it's been a lot of fun.
So those are the things about Jonathan Neely and your body.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe do you have kind of more? I mean, as a guy that's, you know, been working at this year in and year out and taking the off season very seriously, what are a few words you have for someone that hasn't been doing that for years? You know, what should the off season mean, and what are some things you should do?
Sure. Well, I think the number one thing is you have to treat it like an opportunity to get better, and you have to know that if you want to compete at your best level, like, you're going to need to use that opportunity. I think it's different for everyone how they do that. I think that, you know, to be pushing intensely for 12 months a year is not realistic, but you do need to put the off season to use, is my opinion. Remind me what was the question?
It's not important. Let me tell you, this is what I really want your reaction to. So you've been doing some strength workout, you've been doing some balancing work. React, if you will, and maybe I'll make an inner team beef right here. I had Markham on the podcast a month ago, and he told me his off-season workout plan was primarily Overwatch, a video game if you're mm-hmm. not familiar, and yoga.
Mm-hmm.
Greatest workout plan, or just great workout plan?
You know, I think to each their own. There's absolutely an element of that. You have to do what works for you.
So I can't get you to call out Markham right here.
That's not... I mean, I'm happy to Markham, if that's what you're looking for. No, you know, I think Markham... I've talked to Markham a lot, and I think the work he's done he feels like he is doing what he needs to do to have his body be ready.
Yes.
And I'm happy to hear that.
So maybe if I can pull it out of you here, maybe one of your primary recommendations is if you've had a long season, if you're, you know, finishing a college season, you know, which has even different dimensions to a club season or a pro season, is listen to your body, but also, you know, make sure you're maximizing the opportunity in whatever way it is, whether it's film, whether it's strength, whether it's agility.
Yeah, I think you got to find that balance between what what you know you need and what your body's telling you and challenging yourself. I do think that you got to push into some discomfort and get comfortable being uncomfortable in order to excel. And I think the offseason is a good time to work on that.
Nice. So the first big date, as soon as we call this offseason final.
Yeah, we're in preseason now, man.
Yeah, right. Maybe it's not offseason. It's preseason.
It's long been over.
My apologies. I'm still enjoying my offseason. Maybe that's the rust in the voice. I'm just shaking it off with the second podcast of the year. So the first big date then is tryouts. It's next weekend, March 5th, The Breeze. It's happening at Dunbar High School here in Washington, D.C., a new venue for The Breeze to kind of slowly expand our tentacles all over the city. You know, tell me, so the big news about tryouts off the cusp is that it will be a joint tryout with a club team that you've played and captained twice before and will be captaining again this year, Truck Stop.
Yeah.
What does the partnership mean? What can people expect from tryouts, and what does the partnership mean?
Yeah, okay, well, you know, expect from tryouts, I think you're going to see a lot of people there that are eager to show what they can do. I think that tryouts always have an electricity in the air, where folks are focused, folks are ready, they're hungry. You know, we just talked about the offseason. You spend a lot of time preparing and tryouts are that first time where you get to take a crack at kind of like, what are you going to do this season? Which is, it's a lot of fun to be around, and I think people should expect a challenging environment. In terms of the partnership with Truck Stop, it's something that I'm really excited about because last year the number was 14 guys played on The Breeze and also Truck Stop.
Yep.
And this year that number is going to be higher just because the DC Current is no longer around. And so some of the guys there that have played Truck for a long time are really solid players.
Reunification.
Yeah, right. So they're coming over and you know, that number creeps closer to 20. And then I think that also you have a lot of younger players who are really strong. And when they think about, you know, it used to be that their goal might have been Truck Stop, and now maybe their goal is The Breeze. And what we would like to do is bring them into Truck Stop as well. So it's just something, the way I see it is like it lets us streamline things a lot. And it lets us take places where maybe we were exerting twice the energy last year and twice the planning and narrow that down to a single thing.
Can you tell me a little bit more then? If you know, maybe you don't, maybe you're going to let people react in the moment because that's a good way to see how people respond to a trial and a tribulation. Yep. But tell me a little bit more about what folks can expect to see at tryouts if they come out to either participate or spectate.
Yeah. So in terms of planning, that's definitely something that Daryl and Dutchie are handling. And I...
Ooh, there's a question in there too.
Lay it on me.
So okay. Well, maybe finish your thought. Planning's going on behind the scenes.
Yeah, that's not... I really don't know.
Okay.
Because it's something that our coaches are handling. You know, I know if Dutchie's involved, I've seen plenty of tryouts run by him, and he loves full field 3-on-3, which is just terrible and exhausting. So, you know, you might see some of that, but beyond that, I really don't know.
Cool. So, 3-on-3 stuff. The question I wanted to unpack there is then, so there's a big transition of the reins of The mm-hmm. Breeze this year, and that is, you know, you've got Dutchie, the coach of The Breeze for the last, 14, 15, 16, that's 3 years, I can count, and handing off those reins to Daryl Stanley,
yep.
A guy that coached in the MLU, the now-defunct MLU last year, but he's also been a coach of a club team in Philadelphia, as well as an assistant coach in the AUDL for 3 years with the Philadelphia Phoenix.
Right.
So a seasoned guy, yep. but new to D.C. You want to tell me anything about kind of that transition? Have you seen it manifest itself in any way so far? And, you know, what are your feelings?
Yeah, it's something I'm very excited about. You know, we sat down with Daryl, it's late February. We sat down with Daryl in late January and kind of talked to him about what his vision might be and working with Dutchie And obviously Don and a couple of players give an input. I don't want to give the impression that like it was my decision. It was not. But, you know, everyone had a good feeling about Daryl. He's somebody who brings a lot of energy, a lot of strong vision. Something that I really like about him is he outwardly, he kind of has the same drive to improve as a coach the way that I feel about myself as a player in terms of like just... This is a craft that I think he's looking to perfect, and he's looking to soak up new information. I think he's somebody who's not going to be afraid to be vocal. He's not going to be afraid to lay out his plan and to explain tactically how we're going to accomplish those strategies. And yeah, you know, he reminds me a lot of a player who has come up through, you know, the analogy would be a player has come up through a team that maybe doesn't break through the highest level, but that individual player is like ready to get some run with higher competition. And I think that with Daryl bringing him in with this group is a similar thing. And I'm really looking forward to being coached by him.
Yeah, I think one of the things that I kind of mentioned there is he does have quite seasoning or a lot of seasoning around the AUDL and the Eastern Division. And that's been changing significantly every year over the past 3 years. This offseason's been no different. Have you seen any of the headlines? Are there any teams in the Eastern Division that have an extra star next to their game this year because of the moves they've made this offseason?
Yeah, I mean, I heard that a number of the New York Rumble guys, that was MLU, are going over to the AUDL, both the Phoenix and the Empire, I believe.
That's right.
And obviously, some dude named Nicky Spiva is now...
I've heard of him.
...playing in Philadelphia. You might have. So I think the Phoenix are going to be better. I think that the Empire are going to be better, which is a scary thought. I've heard that Montreal was bussing up a number of Boston Ironside players who, you know, might have played for... the Whitecaps in the MLU or maybe didn't play club last year, but I think that Montreal will pick up strong players. Toronto, like, I mean, if we're talking about the division, you basically just go down the list and everyone's really good.
No easy buckets.
No.
good. And so the season will kick off with a game against the Toronto Rush, and that's on April 9th.
Uh-huh.
The other exciting game that will happen early in the season, of course, is on the road for the Breeze. It's down in Raleigh.
Yeah.
And that's going to be the first instance of interdivisional play in the ADL since 2012, since that very inaugural season when the Midwest, or I think it was the Western Division at the time, played the Eastern Division.
Cool.
But it's exciting nonetheless. First time it's happened in a long time, and first time it's going to happen, I think, with this caliber of teams.
Yeah.
Tell me more.
Yeah.
I might have hyped it there, but I mean, I think there's also a storied rivalry between DC and North Carolina Ultimate.
Sure.
I don't know. I'll just turn it over to you. You have any feelings about this?
Yeah, I'm really excited about it. I love playing against the guys from Raleigh, against the guys from North Carolina. I love playing in North Carolina. I played college at University of Virginia, and I feel like half the tournaments we played were in North Carolina.
Sure.
There's just something special to me about getting in a car and going to that state and putting cleats on.
Are there any guys that you played against in college that still that are kicking around the Flyers these days?
I think Noah Saul came to UNC. I think he graduated 2 years after me, so he was on Dark Side when I was on Night Train. Joey Critella and Shane Sisko, I think, were at ECU when I was in college. Man, I'd have to go down the list to like to see the specifics, but
well, there's a couple. Sounds like
There's a number of them, and you know, you play Fool's Fest against them. You see them around at Beach Nationals, like this. You know, it's not that far. It's less than 5 hours away. So it's dudes that I've gotten to know over the years and have a ton of respect and admiration for, and I just love to play against them.
Yeah, it is kind of interesting that the divisional lines for the AUDL, but also, you know, the AUDL regional lines are now kind of arbitrarily drawn on that Virginia, North Carolina. So, hey, it's a straight border.
Right.
We could probably use that. I don't know my American history quite well enough to know who drew that line. Is it a latitude? Is it like the 32nd latitude? I don't know.
Yeah.
Or maybe just a slip of a pen.
Yeah.
I can get political here and talk about Iraq. But those teams have been gerrymandered away from playing each other as frequently, and you will be getting the opportunity to do so during the regular season.
Yeah, because we used to be in the same region in club, and then in 2012, they redrew the regions, and North Carolina is now in the South, but, you know, Truck Stop and Ring of Fire, the two club teams used to play each other all the time. The regional final was almost always, you know, Truck versus Ring, and I think they kind of went blow for blow. We played Ring in the regional final my first year on Truck.
If DC has a rival city, yeah. Do you think it would be Raleigh?
I think it's that or Philly.
Okay.
I think it depends. I mean, right now, I think guys are probably pretty eager to call it Raleigh and to play against them, especially because Ring put us out of Nationals last year.
Oh.
And that was something that we would have preferred not to have happen. I'll put it that way.
Yeah.
But, you know, we've also played tons of games against Philly in the last few years and feel like, you know, I personally feel like when we play them, you know, it gets closer and closer to us taking a loss in a big game.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they're going to be a good squad, and they've stolen some of the talent, as you mentioned, with Spiva.
Yeah, yeah.
So I've got two kind of more fun segments, but I think they're going to really allow us to know more of the inner psyche of Jonathan Neely. And the first one's called That's My Dad.
Okay.
This is a segment about the tried and true tradition of many sports, but particularly ultimate, of heckling.
Okay.
And so I'll kick it off with two stories. Well, I'll kick it off with one story, I'll give it to you, and maybe I'll steal one story back at the end.
Sure.
And so the first story is I was out at a tournament in Washington, D.C., where we live and where the Breeze hail from, and I heard a young man use the heckle, "That's my dad." He heard a great play, he laid down a positive heckle, the term was, "That's my dad." Everyone enjoyed it. We had a chuckle. You know, it was directed at someone that may have been, you know, 3 years his senior. So hilarity ensued.
Cool.
Give me a good heckle you've heard recently. A good heckling story that is just oh so ultimate.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, this is actually kind of easy because I think I heard one of the best ones I've ever heard last club season.
Set a high bar for the rest of the season with That's My Dad.
I really like this. It makes me laugh. Do you know who Mac Taylor is?
I do. He's a recently signed flamethrower.
That's right. Yeah. So yes, he plays in San Francisco. He, for years, Mac was, you know, this all world player, and I think still is one of the best players in the world. He played for Revolver in San Francisco for a long time. He walked away in 2013 after having won a gold medal with the World Games team that summer, and then winning Nationals with Revolver.
Modest accomplishments.
Yeah, he won a couple titles with them. Just is one of the best players there is, really. And, you know, he spent the last couple of years, I think, playing for a team called Blackbird, a mixed team.
That's right.
And sort of stepping away from taking Ultimate or making Ultimate the absolute centerpiece of his life is kind of how I understand it. But last year, my younger brother actually passed this on to me. He was on the sideline watching Mac, watching Blackbird play another team. And I guess Mac had a particularly rough point where he maybe got handblocked and then just like roasted for a goal.
Okay.
And this is a guy who
sure.
truly is like one of the best players I've seen play. Ultimate.
Highest caliber.
Just had a rough go of it and gets taken to the house, I guess. And somebody just goes, "Hey, isn't that the guy who used to be Mac Taylor?"
That's good.
I really
insert name of your choice here, but that works well.
Yeah, I think I would love to hear like some of Mac's old Revolver teammates hear that and get their reaction to it. Dutchie might enjoy it too, but I heard that and I think it's pretty brutal.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I like that a lot. The one that I heard out. I was doing that Pittsburgh all night long tournament, first night of flight,
yeah.
At the beginning of January.
Yeah.
And a male dropped the disc in the end zone, and a female on the sideline yelled, "That's why we're not dating."
Jesus. Rough.
Yeah.
That's really
tough. A tough crowd.
Yeah. Try not to get in your own head after a mistake. That's
so we maybe rough. Hit a little harder on the negative side today with our heckles, but that's my dad.
I like
the beautiful summer.
Hey, I'm going to say, you bring up indoor. I'm freshly minted indoor champion, by the way. I just think that it's worth noting that.
Yeah, I think the people should know.
Yeah.
So there's two hotly contested indoor leagues, and which one you sign up for in DC is highly politicized. I assume you're referring to the Friendship Heights League.
No, actually,
no.
I don't play. I don't mess with indoor league.
how are you calling yourself a champion right now? Well,
there was the Mid-Atlantic Indoor Championships.
Oh.
Whatever it was called, the night before New Year's, and some friends and I put together a team and just, you know, it was a tough journey. We lost our first game of the tournament, but we really came together game by game, and
I was at this tournament, and I watched you winning from afar.
Yeah, it was honestly, I just laugh about it because we all talk about it as some of the most fun ultimate we've played in a while. Indoors, a ton of fun.
Yeah.
Between that and I played a beach tournament this fall too that was a blast, and it's been cool to have some experiences recently of playing some ultimate that maybe had like a little bit less pressure and realizing that like it's just as much fun.
Sure, ultimate can be fun too.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. It's all right.
No, it's all right. Yeah. So the other new segment that I'm rolling out is called Over Underrated.
Yeah.
Okay? And I mentioned this to you just a moment ago before we turned on the mics. The gist of it for those of you at home and hearing the segment just for the second time is I'm just going to give a term or maybe a proper noun in some cases, and I want your gut reaction. Is it over? It's not whether you like it or not. It's whether it's over or underrated.
I love it.
And I'm going to make you defend that stand, or like give me the gist of why that might be the case.
All right.
Playing Ultimate Frisbee Savage. Going to maybe a whole tournament Savage. Go work with it.
Underrated.
Underrated.
Definitely underrated.
Why?
Because you're playing Ultimate and you get to play as much Ultimate as you possibly can. That's a very simple one for me. To have when you're playing Savage, you get a lot of minutes. And like we just said, Ultimate's a lot of fun. So, always underrated.
The band The Chainsmokers.
That's closer,
and they got a new one, Paris.
Uh-huh. I haven't heard Paris. It's
minimalist kind of music, but like the haunting melodies that can't escape you. Am I biasing this too much? Chainsmokers, go.
Yeah, wow. We'll say, you know, that song was catchy to me, but, you know, I haven't even heard Paris, so how good can it be? Overrated.
Overrated.
Definitely.
Tom Brady. Highly politicized.
Yeah, wow.
In a divided country, you have to answer this question.
Yeah. I mean, I gotta say that he's underrated as much as I hate it. I don't like to say it, but that dude just, like, to be so dominant and to be so on top of his game, even if he has been billed as somebody that's, like, not like the stud athlete, and he, you know, kind of had to claw his way into the league. Like, I just have so much admiration for that. But like, screw the Patriots and like that stupid hat, you know, that sucked too.
let's go over to an ultimate player and someone you played with and against, and you'll have to play against this year in the AUDL with some frequency. Chris Kotcher.
Oh man, underrated.
Underrated.
Absolutely. Yeah. Chris, I actually think I said the phrase yesterday talking to some people. I think Chris is probably one of the best players to ever play in this city. I was lucky enough to actually coach Chris when he was at George Washington, and then very quickly learned that playing against him was not the typical coach-player relationship in terms of, like, you coach someone, you kind of assume you can take them on the field. He's incredible. His acceleration and change of direction, his feel for the game, his consistency. I also always really admired that he was just like a cool dude to all of his teammates.
Board games.
Overrated.
Overrated.
I hate board games.
Really?
Yeah, I do.
Does this extend to card games as well?
I don't even play card games.
Enough said.
I'm bad at, no, you know, every once in a while I'll play a board game and actually have a really good time and be like, oh, I probably shouldn't just like hate on board games. But like,
yeah, you wrote them all. That was like, I gave a very wide category.
Yeah, I just like, I get antsy sitting there. I have a hard time learning the rules. Like, I always get kind of confused and wind up feeling kind of dumb.
I always say I like playing board games more than learning board games.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe I should, you know, get over the learning phase and be okay with it.
Last one.
Yeah.
V-neck t-shirts.
Oh.
Style. We're going style.
Yeah. Well, if I'm wearing one, they're overrated because, you know, I'm a skinny dude who just doesn't look very good in a V-neck. I have this one that's like, doesn't go down that far. It's almost like a regular shirt, just like a little V accent. We won't call it a V-neck. And I look good in that shirt, so that's a good one. But put me in a regular V-neck, and it's just not a good look. But if people can pull them off, I think they're nice looking.
Yeah, that was a sneaky way to try to be on both sides of that aisle. Well, great. So those are the two new segments. We talked AEDL Eastern Division a little bit. We talked that Philadelphia's the new rival. It was a little bit of a truncated conversation.
Sure.
Is there anything else going into this AEDL season you want to talk about? Is there anything folks should know about you? Last time, I think we had a little brief discussion about identity theft at the end, which
yeah.
is just a great public service announcement.
Right. Yeah, I try to make sure that I'm giving people useful information.
Yeah.
Man, I'm really excited for this season. I do feel like it's new. I do feel like it's fresh. I do feel motivated to be a part of a team that's pushing to be the best it absolutely can be. I think we tried to do that last year. We succeeded sometimes. We came up short sometimes, but I think we're better for it.
Yep.
I think we're going to be better at it this year. And personally, I feel in a good place to like continue to push to be the best ultimate player I can be. I feel a nice buzz about what's coming up, and at the same time have no idea what to expect. Aside from that, you know, I'm gonna put a lot of effort into it and a lot of energy, and so are a lot of people, you know, trying out, people who are on the team, people who are running the team.
Yeah, I mean, I think the tremor's about the team, or it's gonna be a great competitive team, but also
yeah.
a great group of guys. It's gonna
yeah.
be fun to watch and certainly fun for you to be part of.
Yeah, no doubt. I'm very, very grateful for the place that I'm in regard to who I get to play with and the setting that I play in.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for coming on Hot Air, and maybe we'll make you a third time guest before the end of the season. We'll see what happens.
Three-time Hot Air champion. I'm just going to call myself a Hot Air champion.
Yeah, that's fine. A Hot Air champion is an official term. You do have to wear, there's a Hot Air championship sideways baseball cap.
Okay.
Yep.
I'm in.
All right. Perfect.
Cool.
Thanks again.
Yeah, thanks, dude.